The death of God is about the drying up of a horizon of meaning and of a whole form of human life.
Where do we stand in the illusion it makes? What kind of space are we invited into?
The material relations between people become social relations between things. When we look at toasters, corn, and TVs,
to a large extent, live in the interregnum between worlds, if you will, or between paradigms. Not many people in the history of the world have faced that.
Zero Squared is the Zero Books podcast.
Ernst Lohoff and Norbert Trenke are editors and writers at Crisis Magazine, which is a Marxist anti-political journal out of Germany that emphasizes the esoteric Marx and or value theory.
Yes, hello, Doc. This is Norbert talking, and yes, beside me is Ernst Lohoff, my colleague. Well, you asked us to introduce ourselves a little bit. Well, as you said, we are the editors and authors of the magazine called Crisis or Krisis in Germany. And this magazine exists since the 1980s and was an intent to get out of, he wanted to overcome the traditional Marxism. We were not the only ones in Germany or in that period. Many people thinking about how to overcome traditional Marxism, and we chose this way to go ahead with the part of the Marxist theory, as you said, the esoteric Marx, focusing on the part of the Marxist theory that had been left apart mostly by the traditional Marxism.
Okay, so when you began the Crisis magazine, that was before the Berlin Wall fell, is that right?
Yes.
So at that moment, it may not have been quite as clear to everyone that traditional Marxism was, you know, going to be very, that had a very, very limited lifespan ahead of it. What was it that motivated you to be critical of traditional Marxism in the 80s?
Yeah, the end of real socialism wasn't a surprise for us. We expected it would end in the next decade or decades. Not in this year, but it was clear for us that this
authoritarian
form of domination wasn't the alternative to capitalism, but a form of capitalism. It has in common with domination of commodity, as it's also had been a society grounded on domination of commodity. For this was the background. And on the other hand, our theoretical background wasn't the traditional Marxism in the sense of communist parties in the East or so, or in Western Germany. We came from a critical theory. This was our theoretical background. And a so-called Western Marxism, and therefore we had all the time very much distance to the Eastern societies. Mm-hmm.
So when you say critical theory and Western Marxism, would I be looking to Lukács or to the Frankfurt School philosophers if I was going to find your influences?
More Frankfurt School. Lukács, not at all.
Okay.
Okay.
There was a man named Robert Kurz who was writing at the same time with you. Is that right?
Yes.
Were you coming out of the university with these ideas, or how did you come to be interested in critical theory?
I had been at university a little time, but I have not an academic career or a background. I came from a social movement.
You must imagine that in that time, the so-called new social movements were very strong in Germany and or in Europe in general. Yes, I mean, you must imagine that in that time, the so-called new social movements were very strong in Germany and or in Europe in general. And we all come from this new social movement. Robert Kurz, he was a little bit older. He had participated in the movement of 1968, student movement, but even he was not at the university. We were all outside of university, and we decided not to go to the academic world because we wanted to be free to develop our own ideas and not depend on some structures, on authorities. And that was our aim, to go ahead without any influences from structure or the universities.
So not to be too personal, but I'm just now turning 49. I was born in 1970. What generation are you? Are you guys boomers? Are you Gen X? How old are you?
Baby boomers.
Okay.
Norbert is 60 years old, and I'm half a year younger.
All right. So,
the young guy.
So I'm thinking of you in from my American perspective, then, as sort of coming out of the 70s New Left. Is that right? You were still, you could remember 1968, or you had your older friends could. And you felt, did you feel at that moment, maybe when you were coming to Marx and critical theory, that there was still a lot of revolutionary potential on the left?
It was, my socialization was in the beginning of the 80s. And there was the decline of the left already. This also was one of the reasons to ask what are the reasons for this decline of left movements. And one of the source of the interest for theory to think about why have this movements, revolutionary movements, not reached what they wanted to reach.
And when you formed the Crisis Journal, did you have an answer? Were you working towards an answer for that question of why the left was declining? And what was it, if you were?
We were not oriented in theory, but they used theory only. They used fragments of the traditional theory to, in some way, legitimate their practice, what they were doing. And we said that the traditional theory has reached to its limits, and that we need to renew it. Of course, there were some points. So, one of the first points we criticized in the left was the orientation to class struggle or class oppression, and the standpoint of the working class at the main point, and the main standpoint. And we said that's not the essential thing to criticize in capitalism is not the class struggle or the class domination, but it's something more fundamental. And that was the starting point, to look, to re read Marx and to search for the parts in his theory that were not discussed in that time or only in a very minority segment of the left. And this was this orientation on criticism, on the fetishism of commodity and criticism on value, and to look at this point as the essentials, points of departure for a critique on capitalism.
I think that there has been for a while a debate on the left between people who feel as though oppression and domination is what's most important and most critical to understand. And maybe they'll talk about power as the most important thing to understand, or political power is the most important thing to understand. And those who focus on exploitation as the most important aspect of capitalism. And often that can slip into talk of oppression. But if you focus on exploitation, then you're drawn to see what the ideological formation is around production. You might be drawn to Marx's value theory as he developed it in Capital. And you might look towards, I think, a little bit in the direction of that you are looking, in the terms of like being concerned about the commodity form and the aims of production. How do you think it was that the question of domination and the question of exploitation became considered to be opposed?
I have a question to you. Have you talked about traditional Marxism in the sense of the 70s and the discussion in this time, or original working class movement?
When I think of traditional Marxism, I'm thinking of it in the way that Moshe Pistone described it in his theory, Time, Labor, and Social Domination. And I'm not distinguishing it very much between, like, let's say, the Bolshevik version of traditional Marxism from what might have been on people's lips in the 70s, 1970s. So maybe you can explain what traditional Marxism is and to you, and then we can move on from there.
Well, we agree with Moshe Pastone in this point when he says that there are some essential features of traditional Marxism, which would be that the essence of capitalist domination is that it's class domination, and the domination of capital upon labor. And the other point that the labor or the working class appears in the traditional Marxism as being a transhistorical principle and a counter principle to capital. And thus the traditional Marxism makes always a positive reference to the standpoint of labor and considers it as a standpoint of emancipation. So we agree with Moshe Pastone's point, and we had a very similar critique, which was it's funny because we started from a similar point. Moshe Pastone, he studied in Frankfurt, as you might know. He was very influenced by the critical theory, and we had the same starting point, but we developed our theory independently, and then in the 90s we had contact. So, but we agree with him in this point almost completely. And I think this was one of the limits of traditional Marxism, which was already in the 70s. It was clear for many people that the traditional Marxism had reached its limits because it was not he was not able to explain all the forms of domination which were starting point of the new social movements, you know, feminist movement and anti-racist and anti-sexism, anti-colonial and all those things. So there was a broad critique or criticism on traditional Marxism in the 1970s and the 80s. And of course, in a certain way, we are part of this. We were part of this criticism, but we took another way as the normal, as most of the traditional Marxists. Let me explain this a little bit. I think that the path that most of the Marxists took, I mean, those that did not remain on a very orthodox standpoint, many Marxists in the 70s, 80s, and 90s tried to complement the view of capitalism as being a domination of capital upon labor, and they complemented it with other forms of domination, above all, form of racist and sexist domination. But they did not criticize the main or central point of traditional Marxism, which was this orientation on labor. It was just added in some way. No? It's something it was additive in a certain way. We had different forms of domination, one added to the other. And we tried to take a different path and oriented ourselves toward the part of Marx's theory, as I said before, which was critique on of commodity, fetishism of commodity. What does this mean? It means that we see the essence of the or the core of capitalist society in the fact that in this society all the social relations take the form of commodities, and this form becomes independent of people. In other words, people are dominated by their own social relations in the form of things. And well, that's what Marx calls essentially the fetishism of commodity production, right? And but this is, of course, a very abstract definition of capitalist domination, just a starting point. So it must be more concrete or more precise. And that's what we tried all these years to make this starting point more concrete and more precise in our theory. But it meant from the first moment on, it meant a change in perspective, which was fundamental, because there are a lot of consequences belonging or depending on the starting point or coming from the starting point.
When I talked to Moshe Pistone and when I've read his work, one of the key differences between the traditional Marxists and the kind of Marxism that he advocates, that based on critical theory, I think comes down to an understanding of the what is the subject of capitalism, or who is the revolutionary subject of capitalism. Although to put it in terms of who might be misleading. It seems to me that that in the 70s and 80s in the United States, anyhow, when people have abandoned labor or decided to look away from class and find a new revolutionary subject or maybe a coalition of revolutionary subjects, that they have held on to one of the primary ideas from traditional Marxism that Moshe Pistone was attempting to reject, and that is that within the capitalist social order, there are already categories of people who are the revolutionary subject, that capitalism is generating its own gravediggers, you know, and that, but Moise Piston would say that the revolutionary subject, or the subject of capitalism, is value itself. It's the production of value. It's capital, and that a project to break from capitalism can't begin with finding its own subjectivity within capitalism. So would you agree with that, that one of the differences between traditional Marxism and this value theoretic Marxism is the way in which we are left without a radical subject already pre-made for us?
When Marx has the notion of the capital as the automatical subject, and this is an ironical notion, of course. He says we have to differ from the positive idea of subjectivity. And this means we are the masters of our fate. In our traditional thinking, this is the meaning of subject. And Marx's ironical notion of the capital as the automatical subject means it's the other way around. We don't have this question at all. We have a negative notion of subject.
I think that having a negative subject and not having a concept of a revolutionary subject is your answer. I mean, that's the answer to the question as I asked it. And my motivation behind that question was that in the United States, as these new social movements came about, they seem to take up, let's say, women or ethnic minorities as the new version of the positive subject under capitalism, as a new revolutionary subject. And I wanted to clarify that when you were coming, even though you were coming out of those new social movements and had a similar critique of labor as the revolutionary subject, you weren't simply replacing labor with a new, like, say, subaltern revolutionary subject. You had a different conception.
Yes, we have a different concept. But this different of concept is also a question what kind of emancipation you have in mind. Emancipation of working class, or also emancipation of women, or fightings of colored people, or fighting of people who were excluded from a capitalist society, who had no place in commodity society. And the content and the aim of this movement was to become, to get a place in, to be also a free and equal subject of commodity. And if you think emancipation from a commodity, you must have another concept of emancipation. This concept isn't one of who is the subject of emancipation, but what is the content of emancipation? We have change of paradigm from who are the people who fight for freedom? What is the group who is predestinated to be the incarnation of the new order, to what is the content of the new order?
I wanted to get to this. This difference is so, in some ways, so simple. I mean, you can reduce it to, it's not a question of who will rule, but a question of what kind of society do we want, right? And yet I find that a lot of Marxists who even would appear to understand this difference end up acting as though the major difficulty facing us is how to find power in amongst ourselves today, how to take political power, how to organize or convince the masses, whether those masses are conceived of as workers or just the 99% or something else. So I'm wondering, how is it that the idea that we needed to develop a new basis for society, a new mediating social relationship, say, how did that become esoteric? And this would be my segue into the question I sent you, which is, how did Marx's value theory, as he developed it in Capital and other places, become known as the esoteric side of Marx? Why is this as difficult as it appears to be?
It's a question of the historical epoch you are in. For working class movement, it was indeed esoterical because their needs were to get a place in the commodity society and to emancipate as people who have to sell their working craft.
No, labor power.
Labor power, oh, mm-hmm. Choices. Yes. And they emancipated into the forms of commodity society. And then this is the content of the movement. There is no use of such a esoteric thing as a commodity critic.
I mean, maybe to clarify a little bit the difference between exoteric and esoteric, because this is a term that comes from Roman Rozolsky in his book about the capital, Marx's Capital. And so what he means essentially that the exoteric part of Marx theory is the class domination. That's what people felt every day, you know, being oppressed by capital, being forced to work in the factory and these things. And of course, this is part of the capital domination, of course. But what it's not so obvious in this sense, esoteric, hidden in a certain way, is that behind this domination of capital upon labor, there is a form of abstract domination, which is the domination of the things. Of the things in form of commodities, that relation of people take the forms of things and dominate them in a let's say reified way, in a abstract way, in that you cannot grasp it, you cannot control it. It's a form of dynamic of the society. Which is specific for the capitalist society, a dynamic which cannot be controlled by people. That's the capital in a certain way moves by himself or by itself. And in this way, Marx talks of the automatic subject, you know, and in a ironic way and in a critical way, saying that, look, you think that you are very, very, illuminated, capitalist society or people in the bourgeois society think that they are very, they are not religious, that they know how to manage the things. And he says, look, you're not managing your society. The society is managing you. It's a subject that dominates you. And that's what he called the abstract domination. And that's the esoteric side, the hidden side of capitalist domination.
To be clear, this abstract form, the commodity form that's dominating society and everyone in it, is not a positive force. In other words, it's not as though, let's say, there's a flying saucer over the earth that's a concrete subject that's imposing this commodity form on everything. And if we just got rid of it, rid of the UFO, say, we would be free of the commodity form. The commodity form is doing something. It's a frame for our social relations to work in, right? It's like a set of rules almost that we follow, maybe without always even thinking about them, in order to produce the world together. And it's just that the way in which that commodity form functions has these unintended consequences and is reliant on exploitation and class divisions. And so our task isn't necessarily to merely free ourselves from the commodity, but also to develop a new form of social relations, some new mediating structure.
Yes, yes, I agree completely. That's the central point. And that was one point that in traditional Marxism wasn't seen. I mean, traditional Marxism was in certain way oriented to the liberation or emancipation of labor from the power of capital. And what we think about is we need to emancipate from labor and from commodity and develop a form of new social relationship, which would be without domination, would be the free, as Marx calls it, the free association of the individuals, which organize themselves.
Now, how much of the work of Crisis as a journal has been aimed at thinking through potential new social relations, new forms of productive and civil life, and what have been, what limits have there been on that kind of thinking that you found? Those are two questions.
The main subject was for us was the analyze of capitalist society, and we have no utopian painting or so, the picture of a new society. If you analyze capital precisely enough, it's clear what is the solution. Our main work is to come to such a precise analyze, but that you have also practice consequences for praxis.
Yes, but of course we had some. Some writings, or we have some writings about the question how what the new society should be about, or how to a transformation, social transformation, could be go on. So it's not many writings, but we had of course we had this question, and thinking about. I mean, if you criticize the commodity production on the one hand, and on the other hand, you criticize the state, the nation, as we do, so then, of course, there is the solution cannot be, like in traditional Marxism, to get to the power or to get to the government by revolution or by elections, and then reorganize society from a central point of the government, of the state. So, of course, we...
Can I jump in and ask a question here? Because it seems to me as though you could conceive, if you think about the dictatorship of the proletariat, as it's been described maybe by Marx, or if you think about what's in the Critique of the Gotha program, which is something a little bit different, you could imagine that there would be a moment in which the proletariat would seize power, and they would, through the power of the state, change the structure of production. But they wouldn't do it in order to hold on to the state, but the state would be used to basically protect the proletariat as they transformed their social relationships and overcame their own position. I mean, that's how I understand that notion. It's not, that's why the state is going to wither away, is because it's only being used in a moment, or you know, in a maybe the transition would last weeks or months or a year, but it would not be a new form of society. It would be the process of break. Would you think that that kind of use of state power and revolutionary force could bring about the transformation that
I think we are in another historical situation. This concept of dictatorship of proletarian, it was fruit of a rise of a modern commodity society, where the state also had a role. And nowadays, we have another historical background. We have failed state. We have a crisis of regulation, of political regulation. And we have to find answers to these problems. And I don't think that we can use this concept of traditional Marxism. I can understand why people developed this concept, and my problem isn't to criticize the people who tried to find this way and fought for socialism. I have problems with people who think this is orientation for us in our times.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think in certain way it's of course a question of the historical situation. We are in a complete different situation today than, for example, Lenin in the 100 years ago in Russia. And in this time, there was no modern state in Russia, or even the states in Europe was not so developed as it was then in the first course of this 20th century. And now we have a crisis of state and crisis of politics. That's one point. But the other point is that the concept of organization, of self-organization, of self in the traditional Marxism always was an instrument to create the proletarian state. It was the concept. No? So, and we think that it must be different. We have a state, but now the self-organization must be the central point. We cannot just use it for anything, but that's the essence of emancipation, is the self-organization. So if we have a transformation today, it must be oriented in the self-organization of people and the acquisition of resources to create these structures of self-organization.
From my reading of Marx, and that's primarily, where I'm oriented, my thought was, and this isn't traditional Marxism, but this is my reading of Marx, okay, mm-hmm. Different things. It's that what he conceived of, like, was that you would have a moment in which, let's say, you would use labor vouchers, mm-hmm. for instance, mm-hmm. To mediate the relationship of working people to a common store of goods.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of those labor vouchers was not that they would be fair and just, or that mediation would be the new state of, would be like liberation for workers, but rather that it would make clear the problem of using labor time as a way to mediate your social relations, not only in terms of production, but also in terms of exchange, so that the inequality and the unfairness of exchanges based on labor time would become very clear as you use labor vouchers, and the need for them, as that became more and more clear, would fall away, so that rather than seeking equality through exchange, you would seek basically to be in a moment where, everyone was participating at their best capacity, you know, creatively to produce the world and to create their own relations. And that would be, you know, the maxim is from each according to their abilities to each according to their needs. And that's a very abstract and incomplete way of conceiving of what the basis of those relationships would be. But the labor voucher, idea was one in which I think it was meant to be a step towards freeing ourselves from the need for exchanges based on labor time altogether. In that moment require some sort of force that would maintain a common store of goods and that would set up the exchanges based and distribute labor vouchers. And, you know, there would be a state intervening between the workers and their productive goods.
We are now entering in a very detailed discussion about transformation, but I would prefer to say it in a more fundamental way. The mediation through labor, I agree in this point with Moshe Pastohn, and that the mediation through labor cannot be conscious. Yes. So the fact that people does exchange things by labor and makes not a great difference if it's labor vouchers or money, then it's an indirect way of mediation and a form of mediation that tends to independentize or be independent from people and dominate them. So I don't think that's this would be the way to get to a emancipated society. That's one point. That's the fundamental point. And the second point is that we are now, I think we must see also that we are perceived that we are in a historical situation where labor is not longer the decisive factor for production. Yes, the capitalism has dynamics which, as you know, that it tends to develop the productivity in a very fast way. And as Marx already said in the Grundrisse, or saw in the Grundrisse, he said there will come the point where the productive force of labor will be pushed away by the productive force of knowledge, that knowledge dominates the production. And that's the point where the capitalism in a certain way does not function anymore, because capitalism is based on labor, but on the same time, by its own contradiction, internal contradiction, it tends to make labor superfluous and to put the knowledge on the place of labor. So in a certain in this situation, we are in this situation at least since 30, 40 years, with the beginning of the third industrial revolution, we came to that point empirically. And so now the knowledge, the main productive force, and in a certain way, in capitalism, this factor that knowledge is so important expresses itself in form of crisis. So a new society would be one where we don't have even the need to use labor as a form of mediation, because we are not depending on labor anymore, or not essentially. We're depending on the form how society organizes the production upon the basis of knowledge, but in a rational way. We are now in the point of capitalism where the knowledge is used in a very irrational, destructive way, and the new society would have to change this and organize the productive forces that are developed in a new way.
one of the things that happened as we've reached this point is that the state intervened in such a way so that the development of knowledge that really was outstripping the need for the commodity form never quite arrived because of the property relations that could be enforced and the way that monetization of intellectual property came to dominate.
I think that knowledge is a product in a certain way, a social product, general intellect, as Marx says, that does not that goes beyond the commodity form, because a commodity must be isolated in a certain way. It must be produced every time again. And knowledge, one time it is produced, it's universal. It's there. You don't need to produce it again. And so it goes beyond the commodity form, but in under capitalist conditions, you are right that the state assures the private property and creates the knowledge as a form of commodity, because there are restrictions to use the knowledge, restrictions which are not in the grounded in the knowledge itself, but only in the social form, only in the private property of knowledge rights, of copyrights, and so.
Here's, I guess, my final question: how have you experienced the left and the Marxist left in the response to your journal, and what have the barriers been to opening up a conversation around the esoteric Marx, or around a value critical radical Marxism? And if you've encountered the same kind of resistance that I have, as I've come to try to take a similar position, I think, to yours, what do you think accounts for the resistance? And are we stuck waiting for capitalism to develop conditions where it can become easier for people to see their way to this kind of position? Or is there something we could be doing politically and in terms of communication and organizing to facilitate the taking up of the esoteric Marx?
Well, that's a difficult question, because I think in a certain way, as we talked before, the traditional left in the 19th century, or even in the beginning of the 20th century, was oriented to the so-called exoteric Marx, to the standpoint of labor, because there was an internal development of capitalism, the working class fighting for recognition inside of capitalism. And now they are still in some way still bounded to this theory, but in a situation where this theory is not has not any ground, any fundament anymore, because we're at the point where in some way it becomes increasingly clear that the traditional Marxism has no answers to the situation of we are in today, but they still depend on these ideas, let's say, because of a certain nostalgia. Do you say it like this? It seems to be something which in the past worked. Yes, there were revolutionary movements, and so the left still is oriented to this past, which is glorified in a certain way. And great parts of the left do not see that the situation today is completely different. Well, let me explain a little bit more, because I think it's increasingly clear that the accumulation of value, that means the production of abstract wealth, is reaching to its absolute limits. Let's say in two respects mainly. First, because it's obvious that the production of abstract wealth, which is based on endless expansion comes in conflict with the limits of the natural world and natural resources. This is the ecological side of crisis, which is becoming clearer and clearer, and where the traditional Marxism has no answer to. On the other hand, the capitalist dynamics has long since questioned the centrality of labor by pushing productivity forward. We don't have the centrality of labor anymore, but the traditional Marxists still try to hang on the centrality of labor. So, in certain way, I think we could give clearer answers to the actual situation than the traditional Marxism can do. But of course, it's difficult to fight against a tradition which has a tradition has a certain gravity. Yes. People hang on the tradition because it's a tradition, not because it's really something that explains their actual situation.